Thank you, Doma T. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. This year marks the 20th anniversary of the historic settlement that forced Big Tobacco to stop marketing to children. And they also had to pay states hundreds of billions of dollars to recover taxpayer dollars spent on treatment of tobacco-related illnesses. Bill, you think of targeting to kids. Who is the guy you think of first?
Joe Camel.
Yep. That totally worked. Well, now... there is something that's going on in Chicago. We are fighting back, and the commissioner of the Chicago Department of Public Health, Dr. Julie Morita, is with us. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So tobacco companies had to do something 20 years ago, but now there are these JUULs, J-U-U-L-S, which I hate to admit I knew nothing about. I learned that from my 15-year-old son. It's e-cigarettes. What is Chicago doing to make them unpopular with kids or unavailable to kids, I guess I should say?
So just a couple weeks ago, the city increased the taxes on e-cigarettes or vaping products. We've seen this trend just in the past couple years of increasing use among young people of these products. They're really targeted and directed toward young people. The flavors of the JUUL products are things like mango, fruit medley. They're meant to appeal to kids.
Why don't they just get gum? That's what I don't understand. I guess when I started smoking, you don't think it's addictive, but there's nicotine in here.
Yeah, what's really interesting about these products is that the kids that are using these e-cigarettes or vaping products, particularly JUUL-type products, aren't kids that would ordinarily use smoke cigarettes. They're really not, because they don't equate them. Because when you look at the devices, they are smooth, they are slick looking, they're tiny. They can be the size of a credit card or the size of a flash drive. Mm-hmm. And so kids don't perceive these as using tobacco products. They think about these as being just fun flavored things that they can use and look really cool.
And the belief is that all the ugly side effects that go with cigarette smoking are not part of vaping, but that's not necessarily true.
So the kids really perceive these as being safe. I have a 16-year-old. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, they're the same age.
His friends, his classmates, talk about these products like they're just fun and they're cool. They don't think about them as being addictive or having the negative health effects that they can have. We know that nicotine in and of itself interferes with brain development, and these kids are still developing their brains. We also know they're highly addictive, and the kids who use these products, there's several studies that have been done that have really demonstrated these kids that use those e-cigarettes and vaping products go on to use traditional tobacco products later in life because they get so addicted.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people who smoke use e-cigarettes and vapes to reduce nicotine in their system, and it can be a successful way to quit smoking, but you're already hooked on nicotine. This is just such a silly way, and I know our kids, because I think back when I was a child, your mom would say, don't smoke cigarettes, don't drink beer. You'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. What can we as parents do to try and persuade our kids to not even try them?
I think it's important really to be aware of them, number one, to know what they look like. So I went online. I actually purchased one so I could actually see what the JUUL looks like, took it out, looked at the pods, etc. But I also went online, and there's tons of YouTube videos about JUULs, about the Fixes as another product. There's a Swarin product as well that also is really sleek looking, and they're totally geared toward young people. So parents need to see these things themselves so that they can talk to their kids in advance and let them know that nicotine is dangerous. It's addictive, and if you get addicted to that, you're likely to go on to use traditional tobacco products. And kids don't want to think about that. They don't necessarily want to think of themselves as smokers. They think of themselves as vapers or JUULers.
Yeah.
I always think about movies in the 1940s where guys like Humphrey Bogart had a cigarette going and it made him look cool, or what people perceived as cool. But I don't think about that going on now. Are there any movies or television shows where they've got characters vaping to make them appear to be cool?
I don't watch a whole lot of television, so I don't actually know. I've not seen it on television.
I haven't seen it.
But it's kind of sad to me because what we've done, because of our real focused effort on keeping kids from using regular tobacco products, we've seen a dramatic reduction in kids using these products. So since 2011, when 13.6% of high school students smoke cigarettes, it's down to 6%.
Wow.
So we've made a dramatic difference because we've increased the age to 21, we've increased the prices, we prevent people from using them indoors. So kids just aren't using regular tobacco products. But now when I walk around the street, what do I see?
I see it all the time.
But young people with the sleek devices, vaping, you can actually, you can't even see the device in their hands because they can hide it. And and it's a small puff, just a small puff.
But Julie, I want to make sure I'm getting those numbers right. You said it went from 13% to 6% of the kids, the high school kids, not smoking. But a lot of them, they're not smoking because they've switched over to vaping and e-cigarettes, right?
What we saw is 6% of kids are actually now smoking regular cigarettes, but what we've seen is over 7% of kids are actually using vaping products.
There's your number.
And then there's another 7.7% of kids that are actually using cigars or cigarillos, which are also flavored to appeal to young kids.
Yeah.
So the flavorings are what are really bad, because you ask a 15 or 16-year-old, they don't want to smoke a traditional tobacco product. They don't want to taste tobacco.
Right.
What they want to taste is fruit medley, mango, creme brulee. That's what they want to taste. They don't want to taste these traditional tobacco products.
Why can't... the dumbest thing I'm ever going to say on the radio.
Oh.
But why can't we make these illegal?
So, I mean, I think... The products are available. The city can't regulate or ban the sale of any particular kind of product, but what we can do is make them less accessible by increasing the price of the products, and that is effective. There is lots of evidence by increasing taxes or increasing the prices, kids just can't afford them because they don't have the disposable income that adults have. So that's really helpful, and that's really good.
Do they get carded? Do you have to be a certain age to buy these Juuls?
Yeah, so it's the same as regular tobacco products. You're supposed to be 21, but we know... Even when you're not 21, kids are getting these products, whether it's traditional tobacco or whether it's the vaping products, kids are able to get it. But by increasing it to 21, we do make it more difficult for them to do it.
I've heard radio advertising for Juul, but you can't radio advertise for regular cigarettes. Somehow they found a way around that.
That's right. So, I mean, I think the restrictions are different on the vaping products than they are for traditional tobacco products. And that has to do with the tobacco lobby. They are very, very strong. The manufacturers are very, very – the tobacco industry is very strong.
Yeah.
They've allowed put certain restrictions on how much regulation can actually occur. And so the traditional tobacco products, smoking cigarettes and that kind of thing, there's much more restriction on how you market and where and that kind of thing. But with the other tobacco products like chew or cigars or cigarillos or the vaping products, there are less restrictions on them.
When we were kids, there were warnings everywhere that the Surgeon General has determined that cigarette smoking is harmful or damaging to your health. Is the Surgeon General currently working on vaping experiments?
Is there a
warning
even on there?
So the city, we were ahead of the game in terms. Earlier this year, we actually required that all tobacco retailers put a warning sign up in their stores about tobacco being nicotine products being dangerous and the vaping products in particular being dangerous. So we have done that already. There is major concern throughout the nation at the federal agencies, at the CDC level, the Surgeon General level, the FDA. They're all looking at this right now. But it's taking the FDA a long time to act.
Yeah.
And so that's why the city has acted so quickly, because we just can't wait. What we're seeing, the product sales increased 641% from 2016 to 2017.
Jeez.
And a lot of it is among youth. And so we didn't in the city of Chicago did not want to wait. That's why we went ahead and increased the taxes and ask also that these products be put behind the counter.
Yeah, so you can't have access to them?
You just can't have access to them.
I wonder if years from now, I mean, now it's a safe alternative to smoking is what we hear, but I you're still getting chemicals in addition to nicotine, and I can't imagine it may turn out to be worse and less safe than the smoking.
That's right. These products are relatively new, and so what we do know is that there's chemicals within the vaping material itself that can be irritating to the lungs, to the nose, to the throat, could be carcinogenic. So we just don't know enough information to really say that they're safe.
Yeah.
It may be better to switch from a regular tobacco product to a vaping product, but to say that they're completely safe, it's too early to say then.
Dr. Julie Morita is here, Commissioner of the Chicago Department of Public Health. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. More after this, it's WGN.
We've got the commissioner in the studio. That's what Jasmine said earlier. I'm going to go get the commissioner.
That's right.
Commissioner of the Chicago Department of Public Health. Her name is Dr. Julie Morita. We knew you before you were even the commissioner. Thank you for coming back. We're talking about Juuls, vaping, what Chicago is doing with their latest effort to curb youth vaping.
Secondhand smoke is a big concern with regular cigarettes. Is there a version of this that we should be thinking about when in terms of vaping?
I think the jury's still out on this because these products are relatively new. We know that they have in them some chemicals that can be very irritating to the lungs, the throat, to the nose. So that's for the person that's inhaling. But then if it's in large amounts and other people are inhaling it, it's possible it could affect them as well. So I think that's part of the challenge with these products is the kids think that they're safe.
Right.
But we don't know that they're safe. There's some evidence to say that if people were to switch from using regular tobacco products to vaping, it is better for them in the health. But what we're talking about now is not people who are switching from other tobacco products and regular cigarettes to vaping products. We're talking about kids who would never have smoked.
Right. Now, if this wasn't an option, they wouldn't have any nicotine.
They wouldn't, and they wouldn't be using. They would not use tobacco in the future. And so that's the problem, and that's the challenge.
We as parents, what a great idea. You said earlier, Dr. Morita, about going online. You actually even ordered one just to know what they looked like. If I saw one in my kid's backpack, I don't know if I'd know what it was. So we need to have a conversation with our kids.
I think it's really important for parents to be aware of these products and understand the risks associated with it. The kids just don't get it because they're not going to get it from a YouTube video, that there's any risk associated with any harm that could come to them, or the fact that they're likely to go on to smoke tobacco, cigarettes. So I think it's really important for parents to be upfront and honest and talk to their kids about these issues so that they know what the products are, what the risks are, because that's kids just don't understand
right.
that they're not safe.
Right. Are they using a Joe Camel? Is there a Vinnie Vapor out there that's trying to appeal to kids?
It's not as much
cool like me.
Good idea, Bill.
Yeah.
I know. They're more sophisticated. I mean, there's a beautiful women that are girls, young women that are talking about these slick devices. And, you know, it's appealing to youth in the way that they like to be appealed to. And they make these products very attractive.
Sure.
And we have to fight that. We really have to fight that.
Do these kids honestly know there's nicotine in there? Or do they just think it's just like fruit-flavored vaping?
Smoke.
My sense is that they know that they have they get a little, not a little high. It's not a high, but they feel something when they use the product. Do they realize that that's nicotine? I'm not sure. But that's what they're feeling. They're feeling the effects of nicotine, which makes you feel a little bit different. And so that's what they like.
Julie,
they like
two texters have asked the same question. Is there always nicotine in vaping products?
The vast majority of vaping products have nicotine in them.
Right.
What's the point otherwise? Seriously.
I know.
And, you know, when I started smoking many years ago, if someone would have said you'd become addicted to it, and they probably did, and I'm like, yeah, right. Yeah, you can quit whenever you want. The last thing you want is an addiction to nicotine, no matter how it starts. Because it's so hard to break.
That's right.
Another thing that's come up, I don't want to diss any of my friends on Facebook or otherwise, but there are a lot of people posting false information out there, and it irritates me because people believe anything they read on the internet, and I am scheduled to get a flu shot next week. My kids are going to get it. My husband, I get a flu shot every single year. And there's this new thing up there, 11 reasons why flu shots are more dangerous than the flu itself. I want you to dispel some of these rumors. The flu shot actually makes you sick to begin with. I've never gotten sick.
Yeah, people have a little soreness at the site of the vaccine, which is normal.
Arm is sore.
Right, yeah, it's telling you your body's responding the way you want it to so you don't get sick. But the viruses in the shot themselves are dead, so that you can't actually get sick from the vaccine itself.
If you get sick, it's just a fluke. You would have probably gotten sick anyway.
That's right. I mean, we get vaccines when there's a lot of viruses that are going around, and so you might get a vaccine and be exposed to somebody who's sick and then get sick shortly afterwards. And it takes a couple weeks for the vaccine to work. I got my vaccine. I'm getting my vaccine today, right after this, and my kids got their vaccines on Monday. We walked into a local pharmacy. We're in and out within a short period of time and actually got a discount on what we purchased.
What about the flu shot can cause Alzheimer's disease? This is the first time I've heard that.
There's no evidence or no studies to suggest that that's actually true.
Can you vape a flu shot, Julie? You can't, right?
You would do it then.
There
maybe.
Is a nasal spray flu vaccine that's available.
All right.
Increased risk of narcolepsy. I mean, some of these things are crazy.
Why would that? There's no chance of that, right?
I've never seen any studies related to that association. Yeah. I guess one of the things to think, there's a lot of information available on the internet, and people and parents and young people and older people should use the internet because it's there's so much information. But looking at credible sources is really important. I use a lot of sources like the FDA, the NIH, the CDC, but they're government sources, and sometimes people aren't comfortable with government sources. So there's a lot of great academic institutions, Johns Hopkins University, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, many different academic institutions throughout the United States who have a wealth of information on their websites regarding vaccines and the safety of vaccines and studies about how well the vaccines work and why we need to get them. And so that's, people need to use, look broadly, but also look at credible sources.
You said when you came in that the potential is there for this year, like last year, to be a very tough year flu-wise. How do they base those assumptions?
Yeah, so there's in disease surveillance. I used to think surveillance was when you're sitting out, a policeman sitting outside a house watching it, but there's disease surveillance that we do on an ongoing basis where we're collecting information about how many people are getting sick with various diseases. The WHO and CDC work really closely together every year to look at what strains are circulating in the southern hemisphere and the northern hemisphere. And what happens in the southern hemisphere is often reflective of what we can expect in the northern hemisphere. We also look at the pattern from the prior year and what viruses for circulating. So based on last year's activity, there's a good chance that this year could be a more serious or more severe season. So getting the vaccine now is a fantastic time to get it. We have signage all over the place right now reminding people to get flu shots. They're in every store that you can go into. You can go to your doctor office and get them. We also provide flu shots for free. We have a bunch of vaccine clinics coming up this weekend at city colleges where people can just walk in and get a free shot. So there's lots of vaccine available.
And if you don't want to get a flu shot, if you're listening right now and you're flipping me off because I'm dispelling some of these, disputing some of these rumors.
That's not why I'm flipping you off.
Talking about you. Oh. But if you don't want to get a flu shot, just don't get one. But don't pass along false information, because the only thing I can think of is there were a lot of people that refused to immunize their kids for the MMR, thinking it might cause autism, and mumps is back. Hasn't mumps pretty much been gone and then it's back?
Right. So mumps and measles have been really, really uncommon. And what we see is that is uncommon. But because people started backing away from flu MMR vaccines, so there's been uprisings of people getting measles and getting mumps. And so it's really, we have to stay vigilant. We have to keep vaccinating.
Flu shot or not, it's up to you, but don't throw out untruths out there. And we got all our vaccinations when we were little. No one disputed that. Our parents said, yeah, go get vaccinations. I never got polio. I got the polio test instead.
Right. Yes, I think what happened is we're victims of our own success because the vaccines have gotten rid of so many of the diseases. People don't remember the diseases and how bad they were.
Yeah.
And so they think that the vaccine, any theoretical risks or not even proven risks, are worse than the diseases themselves. And that's just not true. The diseases can be really bad. For the flu, elderly, people with underlying health conditions, young people, more likely to get seriously ill and hospitalized. Pregnant women, definitely at high risk. Those folks really need to get vaccinated. And the people who love them and live around them or around them, they need to get vaccinated as well.
Always nice to speak to you, Dr. Julie Morita, Commissioner of the Chicago Department of Health. Is there a website where people want to find out more information or about the free flu shots that you said is out there?
Yeah, so we have a website where you can go to chicagofluShots.org, and people can find the nearby flu vaccine clinic so they can get a free flu shot.
Thank you so much. Nice to see you again. Stay healthy.
Thank you. You too.
A quick break, some news, and then Dean Richards joins us. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.